Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. I just got through preaching and teaching the word in another setting. And I want to do a part two on that tomorrow. I have some other things that I want to add to that over here. Part two for that particular passage of scripture that we chose today. And I commented on and preached on and taught on. Okay? Part two. And also, while it's on my mind, we need names on the salvation list and on the rededication list that comes from the long list. Start on the long list. And make sure you put that on there. Starting tomorrow. The terrorists among us. The terrorists in our midst, part four. Jesus and the purpose of the parables. Part 13, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign. Day 1708, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 2093, since January the 1st, 2016. And you must understand that the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign has stretched across three campaigns now. One is the Standing Between the Living and the Dead Prayer Devotional Memorial Evangelistic Campaign, which is still going on and has been going on throughout this plague pandemic, as God directed me. And now the Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying evangelistic campaign, which will stretch, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live through Christmas. And so that is the third campaign and is the campaign that we're in right now. However, we're continuing on with the preaching of the Just Jesus campaign, where we're marching through and preaching on and through the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine preaching on a better subject than the Lord Jesus Christ, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, here a little, there a little, introducing you to the real Jesus Christ, Just Jesus. That's where we get that from. And then inviting you to believe in him. You will not have a false idea about Jesus Christ if you continue to listen to this series. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Please turn there and read the Word of God. Another parable put he forth unto them, talking about Jesus Christ, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Pardon me. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Because tares are something else. They're not called tares for nothing. Terrorists, I call the people in the church who are tares, terrorists. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You say, well, what meaneth this? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13, 36-43. Then somebody said a long time ago that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. You can just imagine in your sanctified mind how eager the disciples were to get into the house with Jesus and get away from the multitude. Because no doubt, not only did it blow the minds of the other people, it blew their minds. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And that is Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. By the way, we're supposed to be the children of the kingdom. And the same Jesus gave us two basic commandments to obey. The great commandment, to love him with all of our hearts. Jesus Christ went further and said, If you love me, keep my commandments. And to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We're supposed to be helping Jesus sow the seed of the gospel. And what is wrong with America and the world? Those of us who claim to be Christians who refuse to obey the great commandment and the Great Commission. That's the problem, people. We wouldn't have the issues we have in this country right now if the church had done her job instead of getting all involved and compromised and bribed in politics, trying to be somebody. For we, by our nature, feel lowly. And so any chance we get to rub elbows with the powerful, we want to go and do that instead of do what God has called us to do, thinking that we are making some kind of change. When if we did our job and led people to Jesus, the country would be a Christian nation by majority. But we didn't do our job. That's the reality. And many don't want to do their job today. They still want to go on with politics. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And guess what? The tares got the upper hand. Look at me real good. The tares, they have the upper hand now. When you can look at your television set, and while you're just flipping through, pass by the image, a devil named RuPaul telling your children, come to mama. And he's won more Emmys than Oprah. And another man on the same stage, and may God help Cedric the Entertainer, who had to deal with all of this, because he's not like that, got a low-cut dress on, with his hair showing, and preachers don't say anything, nobody says anything anymore. Little old ladies being sued because they won't bake a cake for such devils. And then you passing by while you're trying to relax and eat your food and look at the news, they intentionally show a commercial with a little nasty. And don't bow your head yet, it's not time to pray. With Little Nasty on a purple pony, with another homosexual, Elton John, world does not say anything. Talking about food, talking stupidly, and looking demonically. Nobody says anything. I'm shocked that nobody said anything. Similar kind of commercial that the great Sister Biles, I forget her first name, that's what I'm calling Sister, I hope she's a sister, was in a commercial with a homosexual. Nobody said anything about some food. And don't bow your head yet, it's not time to pray. They have the upper hand, that's why. The Sodomites have taken control, have taken over. You don't need to be concerned about the Taliban. You need to be concerned about the Sodomites who have the upper hand. These are the terrorists. And America sits by, the president sits by, pastors sit by, while a man beats the daylights out of a woman in a ring. Until she starts bleeding out of her mouth and nose and almost choking her to death. Even some homosexual says that's not fair. Talking about transgender. And now, good Christian young ladies and young men who graduated from college and paid their dues and need to pay their school loans now, and they wanted to be teachers all of their lives, can't go and teach now, and they're threatened with getting fired because some demon-possessed child says, I want to be called Paul, when her name is Paulina. The devil is a lie. See, and am I just saying that people get angry and mad all over the world, all over the country, especially America? Thank God for Kenya saying no. Yeah, that's the country that President Obama's father was born in. Kenya said, no, we're not having that. We're not going to allow a movie to be shown in our country, a Christian country, with two ugly men doing evil together. Thank God. Glory be to God. And I said it's sad that the first black president did more for the homosexuals and the sodomites than he did for his own people. And then, sadly, above all, the church, the pastors, the bishops. You know why you don't hear an outcry from the bishops and the pastors? Because they've been bought with they have been bought with 30 pieces of silver. They have been promised fame and prestige and large numbers in social media, and they've been paid a certain amount of money. Keep your mouth shut. Some have tried to turn in the 30 pieces of silver. They say, what is that to us? They say, what is that to us? We don't want that. We already use you for what we wanted to use you for. You betrayed Jesus Christ. Son, we don't want your nasty 30 pieces of silver back. You already betrayed the church. Preacher, you may be seated, people. God bless you. I'm already preaching. And now they can't say anything and won't say anything. And they have to do everything they tell them to do. No outrage from the great evangelical pastors. No outrage from the great Southern Baptist pastors. They were even told by their Republican leader, we don't want to deal with that. You know why? Because President Trump's mentor died of AIDS because he was a homosexual. I told President Trump and his advisors, you got to deal with this issue if you want this plague to go away. It was not a Democrat plague or a Republican plague. It came from God, because this country, led by pastors and bishops and presidents, sanctioned the abomination of homosexuality and lesbianism. That's a terminal sin. That's when you have gone beyond a certain point with God. When you start doing that, then he has to stop you. And he will. And he is doing it right now. He'll tear the whole thing down. He'll shut your church down, preacher, and he has done so. Some of you preachers are still shocked that you can't go to your church freely and do your little show. You're shocked and mad and angry. You never thought God would shut down the church and keep us back from coming to, you know, meet together as he commanded us and to worship him. You have forgotten that God shut down the temple. What are you talking about? He had it burned down to the ground. I mean, and that's hard to do. What the Romans did is hard to do. And what before that? The destruction to the temple. God has shut it down. See, God is God all by himself. He doesn't need a building. Never has. And the so-called Christians, the so-called, and by the way, none of this is in my notes. None of this. And sometimes God will just have a preacher to say things. And that's what God is doing right now. I never even thought about this. I know people are going to hate me for it. I know some people are going to tune me out. But I'm preaching to the so-called saints and the sinners. And by the way, in case you want to know from someone who dealt with these, one of the shows, Greenleaf, by Oprah and them, you'll hear about it later, but and I'm not going to get into it right now, the Saints and Sinners show was better done than Greenleaf. You say, well, what does that have to do with the message? It has to do with the message, what it has to do with it. So there you have it. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. They ought to be serving the king. In our day and time, they're not. We are worse than the Laodicean church. And I know that my pastor friends want me to give people hope. The only hope I'm going to give you is hope in Jesus for those who are lost. For those of you in the church, you got to get your hope from someplace else if you want to get it from a preacher. But if you're saved and born again, you can get your hope directly from Jesus Christ through prayer and reading the Word of God, and you can get your peace there as well. But I can't give you what God has not told me to give you. I got to give you what God has given me to give you. Now, there's some sweet pastors out there who will try to give you some hope in this situation. But many of them don't know the times. And they're just doing what they're geared up to do, and what they know you expect them to do is give them hope, try to give them hope. And I can't give you that. That's not what God called me to do. I can tell you that if you don't repent in the church, you don't confess your sins and repent in the church, you're going to die. More destruction is going to come. More pain is going to come. Because God is not playing. See, God is once you get God started on you, you're in trouble. And if you want to play games and try to blame the homosexuals and blame other people, blame society, when you didn't do your job, you sweet little Christian people, you sweet evangelicals, you sweet Baptists, oh my soul. Listen, I'm asking right now, two great men, Dwight McKissick, the conscience, and it's amazing how oftentimes black folk turn out to be the conscience of something. The conscience of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dwight McKissick, to quit the convention and pull his good name, lest his good name and his good legacy is pulled down with it. It's going down. I never thought I would say that the Southern Baptist Convention is going down by their own hand. This is a convention that I had great hopes for, and they've been good to me. I'm not mad at the Southern Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist preacher, but the Southern Baptist Convention has been good to me personally. Pastor McKissick, who is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, has been good to me personally down through the years. But my prayer is that Pastor McKissick will pull out if that be the Lord's will. I believe it is, and pull his name out of it as it is going down. He's on the Titanic with it and it's sinking. And then I am praying and hoping that Dr. Tony Evans, as I said the other day, the conscience of evangelicalism, would pull his good name out and just shut it down. Both organizations have done great damage to the work of the Lord in this country and to America. They have failed America. Now you have to understand, I had great hopes for these two organizations. These are my people. I love them. And there are many good people in these circles. But as organizations, and as organizations go, they have become drunk with their power. And now, in the Southern Baptist Convention, and by the way, Dr. McKissick, this is far beyond race, what they're doing right now. Trying to protect themselves when it comes down to women being raped, children being raped and molested. That's beyond race. It's time to shut her down. If they're going to do that, this is not to mention how corrupt. See, these are people who used to be the main ones saying it's all about character. It's all about integrity. These two men who love God and fear God, they know where the bodies are. And they are telling the truth and shaming the devil. And they need to get off of the Titanic. Because I believe God is through with the Southern Baptist Convention. I believe God is through with evangelicalism, as it is called, which I believe was formed and chosen, and the word evangelical was chosen so that we could go along and get along in this world, erasing the name of Christ. But we were called Christians first at Antioch. And my prayer is that Dr. Tony Evans, before he goes on up a little higher, will make that same statement, that we are no longer evangelicals or Southern Baptists. We are Christians. And yes, the world has a problem with that. They don't want to deal with Christ. So in effect, some leading Christians, I believe, did what the devil did and the world has done. Put an X, put another name instead of Christ. Christmas is now Xmas. Christians are now evangelicals. That's more acceptable to the political world, see. That's why they did it. That's why they love it. That's why they're trying to hold on to it. I'm calling on the conscience of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm calling on the conscience of evangelicalism. And these men, they are the conscience of these organizations. They didn't want to be. They didn't try to be. God put them there to to try to help these people and help them to confess their sins and repent. And I have not even mentioned, and of course these two organizations have dovetailed together over the years, and they have formed a system of gatekeepers. They control a lot, and they're very wealthy. And that's why the Southern Baptists are trying to hold on to their money and not tell the truth and shame the devil. And there are many white folks saying, no, we can't do this, not to women who have been raped in the church by pastors, to children especially, boys and girls raped and molested. That's right, the Southern Baptist Church that we thought would never be involved with such a thing has done the same thing as the Catholic Church, and they're doing the same thing the Catholic Church did, lawyering up. The devil is a lie. Evangelicalism now in Southern Baptists, they include white and black and red and yellow. They are the two most powerful Protestant organizations in the world. They have huge influence, huge power, and lots of money. Like I said, they've been good to me, both. I'm not mad at anybody. But that's my prayer. And of this conscience thing, who do they call the conscience of the Congress? John Lewis, another black man. Who did they call the conscience of the nation? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., another black man. I don't know why we always end up being the conscience of something. We got to try to help the black folk, and we have to restrain the white folks and help the white folks say get saved for themselves. Let me tell you something. There's a spirit. See, the Southern Baptists used to lynch black men. Yeah, okay? You know what has happened? That demonic spirit of lynching is still in the Southern Baptist Convention. They lynch one another now, people. You reap what you sow. Some of the best men, most godly men, have been lynched. The man who saved the Southern Baptist Convention has been lynched. Paige Patterson. The conscience of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we say this very carefully because this could... Dwight McKissick has been lynched, quite frankly, a couple of times, at least. Somebody said, Dr. Tony Evans, for president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Tony Evans said, not me. I thought the days of lynching were over. he told them to their faces. You're not going to lynch me. Y'all got the spirit of lynching up in here, man. I appreciate you inviting me to this meeting, but no Tony Evans for Southern Baptist Convention president. You can forget that. And then Russell Moore. Now, Russell Moore, see, the reason why I have respected Russell Moore, he and I would not agree on several things. We wouldn't. I'm, you know. But anyway. I respected him because he's one of those rare Christians who got saved young, was serious about church and the Lord while he was young, who pretty much has lived a clean and holy life, and a man that we really don't have to worry about doing such things as committing adultery on his wife and so on. I just don't see him that way. I would be shocked if he would do something like that. Now, is he tempted like other men? I'm sure. And that's the reason why we have stood by him. There are certain people, black and white, who just got saved young. They were raised in the church. They've been in the church all of their life, and God raised them up. Kind of like Samuel, that kind of guy, where there's just some things they have not done, and that gives them a purity and an influence and a power. But they lynched him. That's right. And I said, if you are going to lynch Russell Moore, a man who is not only good because of Christ, but was raised up good, and one of your best minds, then you lynch anybody. He's not even in the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm calling on Dr. Dwight McKissick to get out of the Southern Baptist Convention. Preserve his good name and use his influence to basically shut her down. She's gone. I haven't even mentioned the lying president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's not even worth mentioning to me. Mr. Lying Linton or something, whatever his name is. I haven't even mentioned him and his corruption. He is a laughingstock among all preachers. When you steal a man's sermons over and over again, and you have absolutely nothing to say from God to your people, but what some other man, some half-baked stuff some other man said in a demonic plot, I believe, to bring homosexuality in the church. And you are such a robot, and you've been told just say what he says to the point where you repeat and plagiarize his personal remarks. All preachers like that, like right now, what I'm saying, this come from God through me. I have no notes on this. I have never heard anybody say anything what I'm saying right now in my life. And you're going to take my personal message from God and my personal remarks, not just the sermon, that's bad enough, but you're going to take the personal things I say to my people at my church because you're too lazy to come up with at least a greeting from God for your people? Come on, man. And I've already asked Dr. McKissick to call for his resignation. But see, here's the problem. When you have corruption like that, that is apparent and open for the whole world to see, it's easy for them to continue to abuse women in the church and children, boys and girls, and not give them their due and play games and play legal games. And by the way, money, there's not enough money in the world to resolve that issue. But punishment, severe punishment, punishment that hurts, must be meted out to such devils. And if Dr. McKissick would lead these so-called independent Baptist churches to truly become independent and shut down the Southern Baptist Convention then you wouldn't have that problem. It'd be on the church. But it's not on the church. It's on the convention, because you want to be a convention. That's what you've been for many years. She's already a hollow shell of corruption. One of your best minds and best individuals has left it. And if you can't keep Russell Moore, Mr. Southern Baptist, Jack, it's time to go. It's time to shut the doors. If you are going to lynch Paige Patterson with some foolishness, it's time to shut her down. Because the Southern Baptist would not even be where it is today without people like Paige Patterson. And I know he did some things wrong, yeah, I know. But it should not have gone that way. Now, these things, like I said, I never even thought about these things I'm telling you all until now. I have no notes on this. But that's my prayer. I hope that these two men will do that for the glory of God and to help the people and set people free from this demonic foolishness and corruption. Because they have allowed, listen to me carefully, the sweet evangelicals with all of their compromise and being bribed, paid off. And yes, whether you like it or not directly from Mr. Soros, but some have been, don't bow your head now and don't reveal yourself. Some have been paid off by Mr. Soros's money through homosexual foundations. That's a fact. There's an organization, if I call their name right now, Out and Out. They were funded by a foundation for homosexuals, and they wanted the organization to not say anything about homosexuality in a negative way. Don't bow your head yet and don't reveal yourself. And some of you have taken money and you don't know where it came from. You got churches receiving money from political parties. And they have allowed the terrorists into the church. And once they get in, you can't get them out. Oh, it's too late now. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute here. You're going to see why. You can't pull them out. The enemy that sold them is the devil. So you want to know why the terrorists are in the church? 1st Jesus said, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Who sold them? The enemy, the devil that sold them is the devil. That's what Jesus Christ said. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burn in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. L. Duncan said the parable of the tares and the wheat is designed to show us that in Christ's kingdom, the sons of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one are going to exist side by side for a long time. And that's what's wrong with the evangelical church. That's what's wrong with the Southern Baptist Church. And you must understand, when I say evangelical church and Southern Baptist Church, they're pretty much one and the same now. But they have huge influence across all denominations. Not so much with the charismatics. In fact, they have been influenced by the charismatics more than they have influenced the charismatics. Why? Because they were losing lots of people to the charismatics. And so they were willing to compromise the word of God to try to keep the people or get the people back. So that's how that works. And so a whole lot of compromise has gone on because of that. And so they have huge influence and power, kind of like the Catholic Church. Political power. So we must wait patiently, because as I said earlier, you can't pull them up. And I'm going to show you why. So we must wait patiently and give ourselves to building up the wheat. Getting them saved, getting people saved, and also helping them to grow in the faith. And be careful in our judgment not to harm those who are believers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, in our last few messages in this series, we have been looking at Jesus's explanation of the parable of the wheat and tares. Bible scholars tell us that the plants referred to as tares. Now, you already know that's not a great positive name, tares. A type and weed called darnel. Darnel looks similar to wheat. And just like there are people in the Evangelical Church and in the Southern Baptist Church and other churches, they look like Christians. They talk like Christians. They know how to put on the dog around real Christians. Even though discerning Christians, they can tell something's not quite right. But anyway, darnel looks similar to wheat before it is full grown. But unlike wheat, it bears no fruit or grain. Wheat bears fruit. A true Christian bears fruit. Not only as far as souls being saved and Christians being raised up in the faith, discipleship, but in their personal lives, there ought to be a difference. You ever heard of the fruit of the Spirit? That ought to show up. Yeah. Yeah. After a while, by and by, as a Christian, you are not always be mad as hell when you get up in the morning and mad as hell when you go to bed at night. Or mad as the devil. You just ought not to be. You can't. See, true born-again Christians, the wheat, they do not have an excuse and blame something else for the constant evil that they do. See, as you're growing in the Lord, your evil ought not to be constant. Yes, you will struggle with things. But after a while, by and by, you're going to get the victory over that if you are born again, if you're saved. You're not going to stay the same. God's not going to let you through chastisement, through rebuke, through holding back blessings from you, not letting you have your way, not letting you do what you want to do. Restraining you, God, if you're saved, God's going to do whatever it takes to help you grow and to conform into the image of Christ. And you will notice it. Of course, God will know about it, and other people will notice it as well. Tares don't have any wheat. Tares don't have any fruit like wheat. No grain, nothing nourishing, nothing that can help other people. There's no good thing from tares or terrorists. When darnel is planted alongside wheat, and the devil does it on purpose, they look a lot alike for a while. But I want you to notice something about tares. Its roots, they're dangerous to good wheat. Its roots entwine with the roots of the wheat, so that it cannot be pulled up without harming the wheat. See, that's why the Lord does not want you to do that. So the keeper of the field told his servants not to root up the tares, because they could not do so without harming the wheat. Instead of destroying them immediately, as we humans are apt to do, the wise householder tells his servants to let the tares and wheat grow together, because he understood how that the tares or the terrorists will tear into the wheat until harvest time. See, that's when we can do that. The reapers are the angels, and the harvest is the end of the world. At the end of the world, just as the reapers gather the tares together to burn them, the angels of God will gather the wicked together, whether they're in church or not in church. And they will be cast into the furnace of fire, which is hell, or the lake of fire. And just as the wheat is gathered into the barn, the righteous believers in Christ will be gathered into heaven. And while the wicked are burning in hell with weeping and gnashing of teeth, the righteous will be shining like the sun in the kingdom of God the Father. By the way, the book of Daniel talks about the same thing there. And so there are, we have dual messages here. One is to the church that has allowed the devil to plant tares and have joined with the devil to have that to continue to go on to the point where no doubt we have more tares in the church today than wheat. And by doing so, we have failed God, we have failed Jesus, we have failed the gospel, and we have failed lost souls, and we have failed America and this world. And the other message, of course, dear friend, if you are a tare, if you're in church, and you're just religious, and you have never been born again, you have not borne any fruit since you said you got saved or you became a member of the church. You're still mean and hateful and unkind. You have no fruit of love or peace or joy in your life. You're ungrateful. You're unthankful. You don't have one soul who has gotten saved through your life. You haven't even sown the seed of the gospel. You have no interest in the gospel. In fact, you try to hinder people from preaching the gospel. You just hate the gospel going forward, and you're never happy about it. There's something wrong somewhere, but you know. And you need to be saved. You're religious, but you are a tare, and you're lost and on your way to hell. My job is to preach the gospel to you. My job is to sow the seed so that you will not continue to be a tare of the devil, planted by the devil. But to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and get your life transformed. And when I say transformed, I really mean that. I firmly believe, I don't think everybody grows the same, but I firmly believe that you, once a person believes in Jesus Christ and gets saved, there ought to be a difference in their lives as they begin to grow. There's a different spirit. There's a different mentality. There's a different attitude. This is not pumped up. You can't fake this. You can't be a phony about this. This is real. And this is knowable. It's not a secret. When a person gets born again, you can tell they're born again and they're saved. And they know it, and they have a peace about it. And I want that for you today. I want you to truly be saved, not religious, not just doing work in the church as a volunteer, but you have never been saved. But you enjoy serving the Lord. You thank the Lord for the privilege to serve Him. Now, dear friend, if you're here today and you are not saved, and you know it deep down, you have a sense within you that even though you're in church among other people who say that they're Christians, you don't have it. I was like that one time. Yes, I was. I just knew that something was not right. I was in church all my life. I was in church all of my life. My dad, I can remember as I was 3 or 4, sitting in a beautiful church in New York City. They had beautiful stained glass windows. The name of the church was St. Paul's. And that's where my parents moved to from North Carolina and Florida in the Great Migration. And that's where I was born. I was born in a Jewish hospital and went to a Christian church from the time I was born. And it's amazing how you can remember those scenes. Until I left home, my mother made us go to church, especially me, because she knew I hated it more than everybody else. So it was not a choice for us. Like some of you parents give your children a choice whether or not to go to church and all that kind of foolishness. My mother didn't play that. She didn't play that at all. You're going to church. It was automatic. And sometimes we would stay in church all day long. But I knew that they didn't have it, and I didn't have it. And I wondered why my dad always would sit down and listen to the most boring man I ever heard in my life, Billy Graham. My mother never sat down and listened to him. He was not exciting enough for her, I guess. I never saw my mother sit down beside my dad and watch Billy Graham preach. But every time Billy Graham preached, my dad was right there. I believe my dad got saved through the preaching of Billy Graham because he changed. I never saw my mother change. She was religious. And I hope that's not the case today. I do know that when I got saved, some other people in my family got saved. And I thank the Lord for that. And I hope my mother got saved. But I before my dad died, I knew my dad got saved. His life changed, see. And that's what I'm telling you, people. When you get saved, you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will change. From the inside out. And I want you to get saved today. God wants you to get saved today. So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power and pain of sin and from the eternal hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. Nobody's better than anybody else. We all have broken God's commandments, His 10 commandments. If you're of age, no doubt you have lied before. You have stolen something before, even from your parents, and you tried to justify it because you're part of the family, but you still stole it. You have lusted after somebody or something. Would you agree with that? Would you admit that? You coveted what other people have? Have you ever dishonored or disobeyed your parents? Disrespecting them by not answering them properly? Not honoring them? Have you ever dishonored God by using His name in vain, calling His name in vain, joining His holy name to your lie, swearing and affirming that you that something is true when you know it's not, and using God's name in your lie? That's very serious. It's a very serious crime. We all have sinned against God. The Pope has, the Dalai Lama has, even Joel Osteen has, the pastor of the largest church in America. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We die because of our sinful nature. We die because of our sinful choices. Everybody is going to die. That's a fact. You may not think you're going to die, but you're going to die. Our bodies will go to a grave. Our soul will go to that awful place called hell. The Bible talks about the rich man who went to hell, that he opened up his eyes in the torments of hell. By the way, if a sinful human judge and jury can convict a man of murder for killing somebody and sentence them to death, their punishment is death in the electric chair, then I can assure you that people who have sinned against God and committed crimes against God all of their lives, the God who made them, the God who warned them, the God who loved them, the God who helped them, and the God who died for them, they're going to hell forever. If God is going to give the government the authority to kill somebody because they murdered somebody else, they took somebody else's life, I assure you that you will spend eternity in hell if you do not take advantage of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross when He suffered, bled, and died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. I would lovingly encourage you, strongly encourage you, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Otherwise, you're going to hell and spend eternity there in torment. And so therefore, thirdly, dear friend, you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell, even as I speak. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. That's real talk from Jesus. Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than any prophet, any apostle, any writer in the Bible, Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than He did about heaven, Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than most preachers living today in their lifetime. Yet they call themselves ministers of Christ, but they have never preached to you regarding hell. They've preached all kinds of wonderful, sweet, ear-tickling series and sermons, but they've never preached a series on hell. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about hell, and so does Jesus Christ. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news. Here are some people who are going to hell, in case you're wondering. Straight from the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, that includes homosexuals, people who commit incest, people who try to have sex with animals, men and women who molest children, preachers and bishops who molest children and rape women in the church, the abominable, and murderers. We talked about them earlier, people who kill other people, and whoremongers. These are the heterosexual sinners in the world and in the church. Whoremongers. Men are normally referred to as whoremongers. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Tell the truth and shame the devil and admit that you're a whoremonger. I have admitted it. You say, preacher, you ought not to say that about yourself. I was a whoremonger, therefore I still am. Just like if a person murdered somebody, they're still considered the murderer. I know that you would like for me to be wonderful and great and sweet like you and pure like you, and I feel like I've never done anything like you, you sweet little lying evangelicals and Southern Baptists and Baptists and charismatic liars. But I'm already dead, so it doesn't matter what you think of me. That's the truth. And if it were not for the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, I would still be doing such things. But God taught me a long time ago through chastisement how to fear Him. I like being blessed. I like being able to do what I do. And I like the privilege of being able to serve God. And I don't like bad feelings in my heart and in my spirit and in my mind. Feeling guilty and dirty. No, I don't like it. I don't like that. It's painful. See, that's a part of chastisement. The loss of joy because you have offended God. You have offended Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the only reason why I'm not doing those things today. Women are referred to as whores in the Bible and otherwise. Oh, preacher, you're not the socialist thing. You know, we women, we're wonderful and great and perfect and dandy, you know, and built up by the sweet little evangelicals and Baptists. And you dare not say anything negative about us. Oh, I do. I do. Because you're not all that. There are whores in the church and outside of the church. Preacher, I'll never listen to you again. It's fine, but I'm telling you the truth, and that's going to always follow you. Whoremongers and whores. These are the people going to the lake of fire according to the Word of God. I'm just reading the Word of God to you. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft. By the way, that includes rebelliousness, because the Bible says rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft. And so therefore you are a witch if you're a female. You are a warlock if you're a male. Sorcery. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God. Some of you love your dog more than you love God. You got it mixed up. You got it mixed up. Some of you people love your animals too much. God gave you the animal. You love your children more than you love God. God gave you the children. Don't make anything that God gave you an idol. Some of you love your spouse more than you love God. You'll do anything. You'll compromise the word of God, everything else, to keep that man or keep that woman. The devil is a lie. Some of you love your jobs. You love your car more than you love God. You have on your schedule, I'm going to go on Sunday morning and clean my car. I'll just skip church. He's the one who gave you the power to get the car. And all liars, all liars, all liars, all liars, all liars, all liars, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins? This is where you're going to, with your bad self. So, dear friends, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. And please understand that once you go to hell, there's no purgatory, there's no in-between. There's no limbo. That's all made-up stories and lies by priests and popes trying to make merchandise of the people in the Catholic Church. There's no such things. There's no vestibule, no waiting area in hell. When you die, you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're going straight to hell. And you will be there forever. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Here's the good news. Jesus Christ preached the gospel first and best. When he said the most important words ever said to humankind, "For God so loved the world," these are the most important words, most loving words, most wonderful words in the history of the world. I hope you get it. I hope you comprehend it. I hope you understand it. "For God so loved the world." Now that's love for you. "That he gave his only begotten son." That's love for you. "That whosoever," red, yellow, black, or white, no racism here, whosoever believeth in him, nobody else, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, nobody else, Jesus alone. Now all these other religions, they recognize Jesus. But as far as salvation is concerned, we don't recognize anybody else. Jesus alone, as the songwriter said, Christ alone. You can't join Jesus to somebody else to get saved, or to your works, or to your church membership, or to your getting baptized. None of those things can be joined to Jesus for your salvation, or you're speaking in some unknown tongue, or you're jumping and shouting and running around the church. None of that means anything as far as getting saved is concerned. Only Jesus. Believe in him. Follow the words of Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him and him only should not perish." That means you will not go to the hell that I just told you about from the Bible. You will not go to the lake of fire if you believe in him. You should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ, if you will, is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, your sins and mine. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust in him. All you have to do is believe in him to save your soul, and he will save you. And if he saved my soul. If he can save my soul, he can save your soul. For I am sure I am far more wicked than you are. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, that he suffered, he bled, and he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. It is the greatest deal in the history of the world. All of us deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down and died for our sins so that we would not go to hell. You can't make this up. Shakespeare could have never even created this. You can't make this up. This is the greatest story ever told, and it is not a myth. It is true. With many infallible proofs. So believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, right where you are. You might be in Iceland today. You might be in Indonesia today. You might even be a Muslim. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be a Jew. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be a Buddhist. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. That's right. Believe it. See, sometimes we as human beings, we want to try to make things, everything into a concrete situation. This is by faith. The Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can count on it. You don't have to doubt it. So, dear friend, if you're ready to do that, if you're ready to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're ready to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, then pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is going on in your heart needs to be expressed through your mouth. So follow me in prayer. Mean it from your heart. And repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I have sinned against you, and that I deserve to go to hell myself. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures, and my faults. As I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross as the Lamb of God, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins and turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and you prayed that prayer with me, please email us and let us know so that we can rejoice with you. One of the emails that you can use is dw3@gospellightsociety.com, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. The Lord tarries is coming, and we live, yes, even on a Saturday morning, at around 8 o'clock, we'll be right here preaching God's Word once again and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be glad to see you and have you. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here today, for what you're doing and for what you will do. We pray for millions and millions to be saved, not only through my preaching, but those other preachers who are preaching every day around the world as well. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Help us all to depart here today and to pray without ceasing and to read and to meditate on your holy word and to obey your holy word. And help us to walk in joy and peace and in the power of your Holy Spirit throughout the remainder of this day and not in the flesh. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why.